her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chairs down.
We are thrilled to begin the second hour of the show with Chewy. The full Chewy experience. Got the computer all buffered out. Didn't have him in the first 40 minutes of the show. I think 41 is when he joined us. I mean, we had him. He was talking. We just couldn't see him. And, you know, we appreciate having him on the stream with us. What?
Self, without even asking me.
So,
is that a sign of what's to come?
I missed the beginning of it. Repeat what you said.
I said, my computer ran its own update without my permission. Gabe, does that scare you?
I mean,
is that a sign of what's coming?
No, that's not the robot revolution that Gabe talks about.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what the computer does after you ignore it and hit, you know, oh yeah, ask me again in 60 minutes. Ask me again in 60 minutes. Eventually, it just says, bleep off, I'm rebooting because I need to.
So I guess the question is, how many times did you ignore the warning that the computer needed to restart?
Probably all of last week.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Joshy said the best thing. Joshy, what did you say about Chew is he would do what?
Oh, he closes the computer on Friday and doesn't look at it again until Monday morning, 10 minutes before the show?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing. That's the reality. The reality is the computer needed to reboot, and then, of course, it rebooted when you opened it right before the show. Gotcha.
Most other people would probably pick up a computer at some point over the weekend, notice there was an update, and say, hey, I work on Monday morning. I'm going to take care of this now and be ready for Monday morning. Not our guy. Not him. No
yeah,
way.
That's
he's like, that is asking a lot.
Chewy,
yeah.
That may sound like ragging on you. It is not. That is inspirational to me. That's what I aspire to be, is to be just close a laptop and not open it again until 10 minutes before the show on Monday.
Yeah, right. How many radio shows did you do over the weekend?
From
the time we saw you last on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Okay, so, well, Friday I actually didn't have anything. Well, we had Marquette. I only did two, so we had Marquette, and then I did a show on Saturday on ESPN Radio.
Okay, it's two more radio shows than the big guy did.
Yeah.
So
it was a light weekend.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Super Bowl this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, watching the Eagles win it. Look, as happy as I was for Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, two guys I've told you we covered in college, just really good dudes. Like, you root for them because they do things the right way. They treat people well. I posted on Twitter last night the number of times that Jalen Hurts told us at Alabama and then again at Oklahoma that he was built for this. And I mean that in quotes. He would say, I'm built for this. And you'd be like, what? And he would say, the greatness, the everything that the position demands, the pressures, the big moments, all of it. He believed in his heart of hearts, soul of souls, he is built for this. So to see him now walk out on top last night after the Super Bowl, it was a nice moment. And Gabe, this is a guy who is oft criticized for the way he plays the quarterback position.
Yeah, he gets a lot of criticism, mostly because, especially this year, they didn't need him to play quarterback the way that we're used to seeing guys play quarterback in 2025. Right? The way Joe Burrow had to play it in terms of dropping back, throwing a bunch of passes, because he had Saquon Barkley. So if you slow on Saquon Barkley, can Jalen Hurts even win you the game? Was the question that was behind it. And yesterday it was an emphatic yes. Yes,
yeah, but
can.
It was, you know what was clear? Is him running the football is a part of their progression.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a total part. And this is where Jordan Love, they kind of what they need to do with him, you know? Here's your first read. Here's your second read. Is it man? Run.
Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Chew, on the Weekly Wager as well. So, fortunately or unfortunately, I suppose, it depends on how you look at it. When Jalen Hurts came into the league, the criticism was, just as Gabe was referencing, that he would not go through his progressions, that he would look to his first read, and if it wasn't there, he would run, right? He would escape the pocket, he would try to make a play with his feet. And I think the evolution of Jalen Hurts has been to rely on his arm. And his accuracy has improved all season long, by the way. Again, I think it was most on display in the NFC Championship game. So the idea is to continue going through your progressions and continue being more of a pocket passer who is always a threat to run. And I think when you talk about Jordan Love, that's the goal for him as well, right? The goal is for him to be a very accurate pocket passer who, if he addresses his footwork, I think can get there. I know you guys might be a little more skeptical about the accuracy going forward, but then have the threat to run, the threat to pick up those first downs with his feet. That is what I would like to see from Jordan Love. Where do you stand on that, Gabe?
Yeah, I think that it has to be, running has to be a part. Though I don't expect him to ever have 72 yards rushing in a game the way that Jalen Hurts did. He's just not that type of an athlete. He's more of a Patrick Mahomes athlete. Yeah, he can escape pressure, move on the run. He's not this past year, but the year before, certainly showed that he has some accuracy throwing the football while he's moving. And then maybe he can pick up 10 yards if it's right there in front of him. You know, third and five, he can pick you up 6 yards. I'm not expecting him to have some of the rushing totals that Jalen Hurts has had in his career in single games. I look at him as more of a Patrick Mahomes type athlete, but I mean, picking up first downs with his legs has been a huge part of Patrick Mahomes and his success over the last 7 years as well.
Yeah, but look at Josh Allen's not the greatest athlete, but he'll still tuck it and run. That's part of his progression.
He is a tremendous athlete.
He's a big dude.
No, he's incredibly athletic.
Yeah, but I think you're underselling Love. Love can do all that stuff. Now, do I want him, like you said, rushing for 72 yards? Jalen Hurts is a big body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a big dude. I mean, Jordan's not, but he's not frail.
No, I think what I'm talking about, Shu, is preferences. Jordan Love would prefer to be in the pocket, to make plays from the pocket, which is fine. I have no issue with that. But I also want him to be able to have that in his arsenal. I want him to be able to be a threat to move the chains with his feet so that you have to respect it. You know, that was one of the things that they always talk about, and we talked about it when we talked about the Packers facing the Eagles, and how do you stop Saquon while also knowing that Jalen Hurts is a threat to run, right? It makes things difficult for an opposing defense. So I like the idea of him working it into his repertoire a little bit more so that other teams have to respect that element of his game.
But that's part of, too, is why their third down percentage was not great this year at all. It was fine, but it wasn't. I mean, if he rushes, you know, two times on third downs, pick on third and six, third and eight, picks him up, that's a huge difference, because all you're trying to do is get to that 40% benchmark. That's what we measured. You convert 40% of your third downs, that is a good day. That's a good day. That's all I'm saying. You know, third and six, third and eight, run the damn ball. If we're going to roll it back with these receivers or just add a meh, he has to take the ball and run more in order for them to be effective.
So let me ask you this, Shu. As we continue comparing the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Packers, let's start just with that position. Give me a ranking for each of those three quarterbacks. You got Patrick Mahomes, you got Jalen Hurts, and you got Jordan Love. I want a number where they are from 1 to 10. And then I want to know why they are where they are. So what would you say, give me a ranking 1 to 10 of Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback.
Can I ignore yesterday's game?
Yeah, I would.
Patrick Mahomes, I mean, do you put him at 10?
He's a 10.
He's a 10?
He's a 10.
Do you put him at 10? Where the hell else are you putting him?
Well, I mean, he didn't look great yesterday.
It happens.
But I think he has a little bit of the same issue as Green Bay. They need another solid weapon. Now, Worthy came on. That was probably his best game of the whole season. But Kelsey's getting up there. And they're in a reload kind of situation as well. Even though he is a 10, you got to have athletes to throw to. Jalen Hurts? Are we doing it just on this year?
However you want to do it.
Is he a 9? He's just so dangerous because he can tuck it and run.
The guy just can't stop winning.
Yeah.
At some point, that matters. Yeah. He's done it at every level, multiple colleges, does it in the NFL. He wins.
So if he's a 9, then I'm putting Jordan. I put him at a 7.5. He needs to have a few more weapons in his arsenal. I'm talking his. I just think the NFL is trending towards, you see it with Jaden Daniels, is in order to be a top-notch offense, quarterback's got to run the ball. You got to take him out of bubble wrap a little bit. And I think, and I don't put it on Jordan Love. I put it totally on LaFleur, because I think LaFleur's telling him not to run.
Gabe, do you agree with those? 7.5 for Jordan Love, 9. Did he give him a 9 eventually?
Yeah, give Jalen Hurts a 9.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just said it. Okay, so a point and a half difference. Do you agree that there's a point and a half difference between Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts right now?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
What is the point and a half?
Receivers.
Accuracy.
Who's their third receiver? Who's their third receiver that caught?
Jahan Dotson.
Was the first? Would he be the best receiver on Green Bay?
No.
Who would be the best? And if you say Watson, I'm going to choke you through this
microphone.
Both
Jane Reed and Christian Watson are better. Definitively.
Gabe.
Jahan Dotson had like 3 catches in the postseason. I mean, well, what are we doing
but
here?
Also in part because they use Saquon Barkley. And then they go to
look
Brown
at
Jahan
Dotson. I mean, Jahan Dotson.
Jahan Dotson was a 2 in Washington, and they decided to trade him away.
Yes,
like there's. I mean, he would be just another guy for the Packers.
Him and Dontavian Wicks would be competing for.
So
snaps.
He would fit in, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he's.
LOL joke at the receivers' room expense.
Yeah, like he's.
He'd fit in fine.
He's a guy.
We're trying to move past that, though, Chu. We are trying to evolve as a unit.
But you know what? If Jordan Love had Brown and Alabama,
you call him Alabama. He literally has the easiest last name to remember.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know.
The easiest last name to remember for Chewy is Chamorro.
Yeah.
He literally has the second easiest last name to remember. In fact, when they don't know someone's name, they call him Smith. Yes.
Very true. But if he had those two, he'd be better. He'd be better than a 7.5.
Yeah.
He could be an 8.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the half-point difference would be the athleticism and strength that Jalen Hurts has versus Jordan Love.
Gabe, you summed it up beginning of the year, giving you all the credit.
Oh, thank you.
All the credit. Do you remember what you said?
I have no idea, but I'm taking the credit.
Jen?
Could be anything.
Yeah, really.
Any idea?
Tell me what we're doing again.
You need superstars to win.
You're welcome.
And it's right.
Breaking news.
And so the Eagles superstars are Jalen Hurts,
Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, O-line.
You want to go on the other side of the ball, dominant. Too, or are we just restricting this to
Zach
offense?
Zach Braun, Carter.
Braun.
Yeah, Ryan Braun's cousin.
Hold on, what's his name?
Braun. Zach Braun.
It's a Wisconsin kid, man.
There's no R there.
Braun Deer, great.
Scored 7 touchdowns in a game.
Sure did.
Were you there?
No, but I remember. Oh, no. I remember. Oh, no. I wish. But I remember Mike Padol in studio that year calling him Zach the touchdown maniac because he just kept scoring every touchdown for Brown Deer.
Played quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a little clunky, but all right. All right. There he is on the screen right now. Good for him. Obviously, Super Bowl champion after the victory last night. But look, we talked about it at the first segment of the show. A big reason why they won, guys, was the pressure that defensive line was able to get on him. And now I'm watching Cooper DeJean. That might be a return there that we're watching. So we have to get, when you talk about superstars too, we can't just keep it to the offensive side of the ball because they have superstars on the other side as well. Yeah. You mentioned Jalen Carter earlier this morning. You mentioned Zach Bond. We mentioned Cooper DeJean. Quinyon Mitchell, pretty quiet. But again, because they were getting so much pressure, it kind of took some of the pressure off of the defensive backs to have to make big plays. Who had the deflection? Who had the hand up in the air, that deflection on the sideline late in the game? Wasn't it a pick?
Was it Gardner Johnson?
Might have been.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're not superstars. They just made plays, made a lot of them.
Well, because when you have the superstars around, they command so much attention. They make it easier for, and Chewy harps on this all the time. It's easier for C's to play like B's when the A players are commanding all the attention. It makes them easier to kind of elevate their own game, especially on offense, where those guys are able to step up and make plays for you. You know, that when you're a defensive lineman and you got Jalen Carter commanding all the attention, now you just have a one-on-one in front of you. Yeah, that makes it easier for you to do your job because you have that stud superstar.
And so what we started with this morning is recognizing where the Packers were when they competed against this Eagles team. Whether you want to look at the most recent one in the playoffs or you want to look at the game at the beginning of the season, do you feel like the Packers are that far off? We have plenty of people who are saying no. Feels like they're close. Feels like they're a few pieces away. The problem is those pieces are big pieces.
Yeah,
those pieces that the Packers are currently without, we saw make big plays and be big contributors and have a big role in the Eagles winning yesterday.
I just don't know why the Chiefs never thought to chip anybody, right? Like, I mean, I'm told that's why we didn't get a big year out of Rashawn Gary. How come they should have just chipped him? It clearly prevents you from pass rushing at all times.
That's sarcasm also. I caught it.
It's... Yeah,
well, who are you gonna? The only one you're gonna chip them with, Gabe, is a running back.
Yeah, I understand.
Because they have to get Kelce out Chewy. Just because they don't have superstars.
Yeah. Sarcasm.
Yeah, we didn't actually need to dive into the point. I was trying to make fun of.
I missed it. I swung it. You know,
you're having the most Monday of Mondays right now.
I am?
Right? When we come back, I want to talk about what you were going through yesterday at your Super Bowl gathering that you said you weren't going to, the game that you said you weren't going to watch, but you ultimately ended up watching it on not one, but multiple televisions.
Watched it twice.
We will talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed, but like, I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I feel more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
Yeah, I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy was pretty emphatic last week. He was not watching the Super Bowl. Actually, more accurately, 2 weeks ago, when the Super Bowl matchup was set, he told us, I'm not watching. Won't be watching. We were like, come on, you're going to watch the Super Bowl. What are we doing? What are we even doing? So yesterday, Gabe, we got a text from the big guy. What did it say?
Not only was he watching the Super Bowl, he was watching the Super Bowl on two televisions, and he was asking for advice on which television he should be watching the game on.
Well, that was annoying. And let me explain to you why I'm off. You want to know why I'm off?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, is it going to take less than the 40 minutes we have left in the show?
This is the problem, and it's been going on since Saturday. So we have shells here in our beds. You know, the flower beds, right? Kind of like mulch back in Wisconsin.
I thought that we were talking about seashells in your sleeping bed. Yes.
Like a water bed. No. But seashells
instead
of the water.
Well, I thought maybe Angie had gone for a walk on the beach, and she brought them back in her toesies, and then they were in the bed. Like, that's what I'm picturing. So thank you for clarifying. Shells in the flower beds.
Yes.
Gotcha. Please continue.
So I spread those last year 6 yards. You guys probably don't. It's a lot. It's a big pile.
Okay.
And it took me probably 2 days to do, but shells weren't that bad. So she wants white rocks in the beds now, right? Rocks are a lot heavier than shells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right. Not only that, the guy who dropped them off, the company, dumped them right in the middle of the driveway so no one can get in or out.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to slow play this thing, but Angie's all over my butt. So I'm going to start in about 37 minutes.
Okay.
With a bad elbow. And this is not going to be fun.
Plain
this
hurt.
Is there's nothing going to be fun about this. And I'm dreading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have I have anxiety over it on how miserable this is going to be. So that's the reason why I'm a little distracted.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate that. So getting back to the game yesterday.
Yeah, I was about to say, what does this have to do with you watching the Super Bowl on two TVs yesterday?
Well, that's why I'm not sharp. I'm normally sharp.
Yeah.
I'm normally sharp
as
a tack. But I'm not sharp today because of the rocks. So to answer your question,
so you're at your house or someone else's?
We're at someone else's house. Okay. This is the CIA guy's little... So... He had, the game was on like four TVs, but on the big screen TV, it was 15 seconds ahead of the TVs at the bar. And I said, I'm not watching it. Okay. I'm not watching the one that's happening quickly. It's a little distracting. But he just kept taunting us, you know, on what was happening. And I didn't want to know what that's happening.
Who's
no, the guy whose house it is.
Okay, so I'm trying to follow along here. So he was watching the TV that was ahead.
Yes.
You guys were watching the TV that was behind.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just move to a spot where you could watch the TV that was ahead?
It seems like you said that was the big screen.
Yes, but all the chairs were taken, and I was very comfortable sitting at the bar watching the game. But
until
then they would start yelling and screaming, and no one had a team. The common thread of this game, I think, is, and I heard it from more people, I hate both teams.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I really didn't care, but when they were cheering, I couldn't tell who they were cheering for, whether it was the Chiefs or the Eagles. So it was very distracting.
Okay, so Gabe had a solution immediately to your inquiry in the text chain. Gabe, you said what?
Well, you just always watch the TV that's ahead.
Always.
I didn't want
every time.
No.
Because you can't expect the people who are watching the TV that's ahead to withhold their reaction. The best thing about watching sports is having that guttural, visceral reaction to what you're seeing. So to sit here and be like, oh, I can't say anything or do anything or react until the people in the room next door catch up. One, you're never catching up because there's a 15-second delay, so they're always going to be behind. And two, where's the fun in that?
Jen, I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
And you might
not know this, okay? But when I go somewhere, no matter where it is, it's all about me.
I know, yeah. That's not a secret.
Were you the only one watching on the TV that was behind?
No. Okay. No, we had like four or five guys sitting there.
Let me ask you a question, though, because I do think problematic. Isn't it on the host to get them all lined up? Like, isn't it on the host to make sure? Isn't that part of... I know, again, I'm not saying this is, like, as important as providing the food spread or the beverages or parking for everybody who's going to be jamming up the street. But, like, it does feel like now in 2025, when people are using streaming services to do this stuff, it feels like you might need to add that to the list.
But it depends. So we've got two TVs on in here that usually have ESPN on, and we put the other one on NFL Network. Even though I click ESPN and both of them, a lot of times one's going to get ahead of the other one throughout the course of the 2 hours just naturally. Like, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So he's supposed to be going around making sure every TV is synced up with every other TV and not supposed to be sitting there watching the game.
Okay, first of all, you just took that way too personally just because you're the guy who does the TVs in here. We don't have audio on these TVs. So it's not as though there would be like this back here, chirp, chirp, chirping, and then this back here.
But what I'm saying,
chirp, chirp, chirping.
But what I'm saying is, they're going to, if you're using a streaming service, chances are, just naturally, because of the way these things work, one's going to get ahead of the other.
What do we envision him hiring tech to come in and try and stop late?
You just pause the one, and then you try to sync it like,
and then run to the other room. And
it doesn't sound like they were that far away. If Chewy was able to see both of them,
but this guy's like Joshy. He's an agitator. He just did it to agitate. That's the only reason.
It seems like he was just enjoying football, and you took it personally, like most things that happen around here.
He was enjoying it bothering me.
Well, yeah, because you're so easy to agitate. Don't be so irritable. don't let us get
don't
on your
be the easy
so
target.
Easy.
Yeah. Josh is just basically saying you're an easy target, and that's on you.
You show up with
that's
a bullseye
fair.
On your
that
forehead,
is.
And every day I'm successful in agitating.
That is
don't
fair.
Put a kick me shirt on the back on your back.
Because I could have went outside because he also had a TV on the patio outside and no one was on the couches there. So I probably could have moved.
Why didn't you go?
Sounds like it would have been the perfect spot for you.
But
he would have
me
won.
Being agitated bothered him to a certain extent. So it was kind of like we were battling. So I fed his dog a lot of sausage. Hey, that's what you got. Right, Gabe?
Yep.
That's
exactly
what
you get.
What are you doing
that's
agreeing
what you get.
With any element of that story, any element of that thought process?
Hey,
what are you doing?
You mess with the bull, Jen, you get the horse.
You're like, I don't want my dog getting sausage. You know what I mean?
So I won.
A wild. You didn't win. No. You were bothered. You watched the game.
Kind of felt
bothered.
Like a win.
And you end up lying to everybody.
And just out of curiosity, I'm not sure how far down the road this guy's house is, but I guarantee he's going to doo-doo in your yard. I guarantee once the guy figures out that you were feeding the dog sausages, when he takes him on his walk, he's going to let him do your business in your yard right next to the rocks.
He better have a bowl because that nothing solid's coming out of that dog, I can tell you that.
Well, no, that's why he's doing it on your lawn, because it's going to be impossible to pick up.
You guys just started a neighborhood war over a 15-second delay during the Super Bowl. Wow. I know the New Year's a time when a lot of people want to hit the reset button. Maybe it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of yourself. Let's be honest, guys. Feeling confident in how you look and feel is not just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From January 1st through March 31st, they are offering special packages to help you start 2025 as the most confident version of yourself. Maybe it's wellness or a weight loss plan. Maybe it's Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy. They've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. And I can hear the wheels turning in some of your brains right now going, I'm not going and getting any of that stuff done. My fellas, my buddies, they would never let me live it down. But here's the thing. When you come out looking your best, feeling your best, your buddies are going to notice and they're going to say, what are you doing? What have you done? You look great. I want some of that. And then you can tell them about Quintessa Aesthetic Center. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make this the year that you feel the most confident inside and out.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to. Ernie, does it ever?
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, reacting to the Super Bowl. We didn't even talk about the halftime show yet. I heard and I have read that it was very significant to certain portions of the population for various reasons. I'm not a Kendrick Lamar fan. I appreciate the talent. I appreciate his skill set. Chase, my 16-year-old, big into his music, loves it, was singing along to the show as it was going on, was filling me in on some of the... nuance, if you will.
Lore.
The lore, if you will. Like, I was like, what the hell is Serena Williams doing here? And he was like, well, let me explain. Filled me in on that whole thing. So there was obviously intrigue and appreciation by a lot of people. It just wasn't for me. Did anybody else love it? Was anybody else, like, overwhelmed by how great it was?
I thought it was boring.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Kendrick Lamar since his first mixtape 15 years ago. He is an artist.
Cool.
He is an interesting person. He's not a halftime performer. And I thought that pretty much bared out pretty fairly. Like, his literal beats per minute and the things to get people up, dancing, moving, are just low. He doesn't rap to and make music to that is like radio hits. He's got one hit now. It's a Drake diss song. And everything culminated in that one moment. So aside from those 30-ish seconds where he had the crowd yell a minor...
A minor.
A minor. The
a
note.
Minor.
Famously, the note.
The chord is A minor. Yes.
Yes. So what? It just like it didn't have mass appeal, and Kendrick Lamar doesn't have hits that get your mom up and dancing. Maroon 5 goes out there, tears the place down. Bruno Mars tears the place down. Justin Timberlake tears the place down. It's just
Usher,
different.
Don't forget about
yes.
Usher.
My mom was screaming, yeah, I know it, when that was
so
happening.
So who was the target audience with this halftime show?
Younger kids.
And the internet.
Why? They're not paying for anything. Target the people who pay.
Well, you're not
okay?
Wrong.
Well, which are parents.
It's kind of the whole point.
Chewy, I got bad news for you, bud.
What?
You are no longer in the target demo, pal.
It should be.
You're just not. Target demo is 18 to 49.
Hey, I got text today that said I would have taken Steely Dan all day long.
Well, we know your stance on Steely Dan.
I would love for Steely Dan to be the Super Bowl halftime show just to see everybody rip it.
Well, it couldn't be any worse than yesterday's halftime show because
did you already forget the name of the guy?
It was all negative.
Chewy, music is a young man's game, pal. Just a young man's game.
Just for funsies, remember the trivia that we told you a little bit ago, Chu, about Steely Dan? Who is the famous actor who was in Steely Dan?
Chevy Chase.
Yes! Good job, buddy. I don't believe it.
I mean, I don't believe it.
What do you mean you don't believe it?
I mean, I got what's he playing? What instrument?
I don't know, but he was.
And
in
I used
the
to movies. Love Chevy Chase, but he just doesn't feel like. I think you're wrong because I watched documentaries on Steely Dan, and they never mention it.
Documentaries, plural. There's more than one documentary yes. on Steely Dan. Are you crazy yes. right now?
You know what? There's going to come a time when you guys watch the History Channel.
Chevy Chase was the first drummer for Donald Fagen and Walter Becker before they formed the band Steely Dan. They were friends and played in a band together at Bard College in the 1960s.
So they weren't called Steely Dan at the time, but he was in the band that the two had before they broke off and became Steely Dan. There's also some trivia about what Steely Dan refers to, right? We can't get into that on the radio. I'm pretty sure.
I'd prefer if we didn't.
I'm pretty sure if I remember the details correctly.
Well, I want to know.
Your computer's working now.
No, first of all, don't. So not on this work computer.
It's not a work computer. No. It's his computer. Okay.
And two, you're just going to tell me you don't believe it anyway, so what's the difference?
Good point.
Okay, sure. Let's get to Max Crosby, guys, because this past weekend, Ian Rappaport, doing a lot of work, someone reminded me on the Carbless Talk and Text line that Ian Rappaport said that Davante Adams wants to go to the West Coast this weekend. That's what Ian Rappaport is reporting. So put that in your, you know, bucket of information when you're thinking about Davante Adams potentially joining the Packers. Okay, Max Crosby. This is another thing from Ian Rappaport this weekend, talking about pass rushers. And he directly connected him to the Packers because of familiarity and competitiveness and title contention. What was the quote exactly? Do you have it there, Gabe? Do you have the Ian Rappaport quote?
I do. From his piece over at NFL.com, trading Crosby for a bounty of picks would be one way to expedite that process, talking about rebuilding the Raiders. And Crosby might welcome the change, particularly if it's to a playoff team where he knows people. Example, Green Bay.
Is it a double whammy?
Of course it is.
Trade for him and then pay him?
He's got 2 years, about $44 million left on his contract. Yeah, anytime you trade for a guy, you're going to have to give him an extension.
But again, using it in the context of what we watched last night in the Super Bowl, guys, there's a part of me that, again, is even more emphatic about having to upgrade that position and get a game changer, get a player who can make an impact. You want to get pressure with four. Max Crosby is a guy who could contribute to that. I woke up this morning being like, do whatever you got to do to upgrade that defensive line to the point where it can compete the way that the Eagles did against the perennial powerhouse, the Chiefs, too.
To me, it just doesn't seem, and I can't remember if it was when Goody spoke at the end of the year. To me, it's just, it feels as if Goody is in no rush, and he doesn't feel pressure, and he's sticking to his plan. I don't think he feels the same sense of urgency that we feel.
Even though he said it's time to feel urgent about winning championships.
Well, he meant everybody else needs to be urgent. I am going to... No. But Chu, I guess my point to you would be, would he be right? Would he be right in believing that, or would he be wrong? Because my gut tells me he would be wrong in thinking that he can go about it a different way. And I think, again, if you watched the Eagles last night and you saw the way that they effectively shut down a team that many people thought was unshutdownable, this feels like a no-brainer.
I know, but I think he's not done evaluating positions on the field, like the receivers. He wants to give it a little more time. That's just the gut feeling I have. I think he feels like, all right, we don't need a major piece, maybe a piece, but not a major piece. I certainly don't feel a sense of panic of like, we got to have a number one. Do you get that?
Not with the receivers.
And I think defensively, he's like, first year going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Rashawn will be better next year once he gets a little. I just think he's fooling himself a little bit. I think he's fooling himself.
If one of these guys actually becomes available, whoever they go to is going to drastically change their team. These are the type of players when he talks about, hey, if you make that move, you got to be right. Crosby and Garrett are those type of guys that you would be right to make the move.
No, I know, but it's the draft picks that come along with it. You think he's going to give up two firsts and then pay the guy $40 million? That's just not his M.O. I think if it was just the money in free agency, he'd do it, but the double whammy stings.
Well, at some point, don't you have to change your M.O. if you want to win a championship?
I agree.
At some point, doesn't that have to change? And I think Goody is smart enough to know that.
What I feel. And I think he's like, Christian Watson comes back. I'm not worried about the ACL. I think me and him have a different way of evaluating talent. And I'm more, it's better to get rid of a guy instead of hanging on to him for too long.
This kind of seemingly opens the door a little bit. I mean, Crosby has said before he wants to be a Raider for life. And he hasn't really, and he made the rounds at Radio Row, didn't really hint about his future in a lot of those interviews, had high praise for Pete Carroll about how he's a winner. So maybe Carroll can convince him to stay. But if he does become available, same thing with Myles Garrett. If the Browns move their stance, like, that's the type of player you got to be aggressive in going and get.
Because Diana Rossini reported this weekend regarding Myles Garrett that Myles is not bluffing, that he wants out, he expects to be able to get this thing, to finagle this thing, to get out of Cleveland. Cleveland is standing pat. They have said that they have no interest. But also there seems to be a little of like, but tell us what you got. Like, what are you thinking? You know, if you had to guess, Gabe, do you think now, as things continue to develop, as Garrett makes the rounds at Radio Row all of last week stating his case, do you feel like there is more likelihood that he is gone?
I don't. I still think the Browns are going to stand pat. Because, again, if the Browns stand pat, Myles Garrett can say everything he wants. Like, he has no recourse in action.
He can sit out.
And then get the bleep find out of him that cannot be.
Yeah.
And they used to be able to chew. In the NFL, if you find somebody for sitting out, once you, you know, agreed to a new contract, then you go, oh, just kidding, we're going to give you all that money back. That's not the way that works anymore.
You can always do that money back.
Yeah. If he wants he doesn't strike me as that type of guy.
No.
I mean, again, Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade. T. Higgins asked for a trade. Like, there are plenty of examples across the NFL of guys who have, Lamar Jackson asked for a trade, of teams coming to an agreement with the people. Like, if they give Myles Garrett, make him the highest paid guy in NFL history outside of a quarterback, I mean, does he sign that deal? Probably.
Diana reporting that March 12th is probably the deadline for when they'll get a trade done, if in fact they do follow through with it. Her line was, we're not moving him, but stay tuned. That from executives in Cleveland's front office.
Yeah, because he has a massive roster bonus on the 12th. That's the day.
All these DNs that are requesting trades watched yesterday's game along with all the coaches in the NFL going, who, you want to win a championship? You have to have a kick-ass D-line.
Gotta pay.
Yep, and they know that, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
You got a preference between those two, Chew? I know we've addressed it before, but as we start to get more information about Max Crosby and Myles Garrett and their respective situations, you have a preference between those two? One you like more than the other?
I like Max Crosby's motor, but I think at the end of the day, Garrett's a better player. So either one of them would be wonderful. Yeah. Both of them would be great, too.
Garrett's...
What's your line?
I mean, we can get Bonds and Griffey. It's not even going to cost us that much. Yeah. Can you imagine, Chew? Garrett on one side?
Yeah.
You got Max Crosby on the other.
You got quarterbacks just giving up. You got quarterbacks just forfeiting.
I mean, you're not going to have a draft pick for the better part of a decade, but who cares?
We could put Gabe at 5 technique and it'd still be unbelievable.
Yeah, there we go.
You can teach me. I'm coachable.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room afterwards, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in 6. It's on the Bus Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6. Today would be a good day to queue up Bucks in 6. You could listen to the Bucks as they played the 76ers yesterday. We were watching it when we were at Potawatomi for Weekly Wager. It, of course, is on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk about those Bucks right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I mean, I know you're fading it down, but you could keep playing Reeling in the Years. I love this song. Such a yacht rock gal. I don't know if this even qualifies as yacht rock because it's a little more upbeat, but...
No, this is... I'm pretty sure the entire Steely Dan category, catalog...
But don't they not like being called yacht rock?
I mean, I don't think so, but...
Despite being the defining band.
Doesn't matter. I mean, that's... You're the definition.
It's better than dad rock, but Joshy talks out both sides of his mouth because he would love to have the Grateful Dead perform at halftime. Am I right, Josh?
I would not think that was the right venue for them.
that would be tough.
Yeah, how hard it would be to clear all that smoke before the game started in the second half.
They would get one song in.
Yeah. But in their defense, Touch of Grey would probably get more people going than what we saw.
I would agree.
So before we let you guys go today, I want to talk about the Giannis news. Obviously, Giannis has missed several games now. He's been dealing with that calf strain. It is going to keep him out of the All-Star game. I have seen reaction on both sides of the fence here, guys. Some people who are like, here we go again. Giannis is hurt. Second half of the season, right on schedule. Feels a little overly dramatic to me. On the other hand, I have people saying, good, rest him now. During the regular season, there's a long break here for the All-Star break. In fact, the Bucks' next game isn't until February 20th. So rest him now, and then hopefully he will be healthy for what is going to be a tough and necessary second half of the season. Gabe, where do you stand?
Yeah, that's kind of what Doc's message was yesterday. Like, Giannis very aware that he has not been healthy the last 2 years in the postseason, so they're going to be cautious with this calf injury that kind of crept up because he was probable last Wednesday when they played the Hornets, kind of tweaked it a little bit then, and hasn't played since that game. So giving him the opportunity to rest it, instead of in the past he might kind of try to push through because that's who he is, being smart about this and making sure he's ready for the postseason is the smartest thing the Bucks can do.
Yeah, just chronic calf issues scare me because I know what it leads to.
Is this an Achilles thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's all tied together. You know? I agree. Sit him as long as you can to make sure it's 100% healthy. But it's just, I mean, it seems every year it's a calf. It's a calf, which is weird because they don't really have calves. That's the thing that shocked me most about going to a Bucks game.
Glass house.
They don't really have calves? What are we talking about here?
Muscle like definition.
All their calves are.
Yeah, but they have calves. Like, just because they're not like calves, they have. Okay. Just a few moments ago.
Go to the game, look at their calves. They have no calves.
Just a few moments ago, they announced that Trae Young is going to be the game. I am trying to motor right through this.
Yeah, but he just called Josh a hypocrite, and this is a guy that famously doesn't do any legs, could be doing leg day to get his lift fix
because he can't
with
the elbow.
But refuses to go to the gym because he can't do his bench press and his curls for the girls.
Anyone asks me at the gym, why don't you do legs? First thing I say, Charlene.
Now, anybody who doesn't know your mother doesn't get that reference, but what does that mean?
Look at my mother's calves. They're stacked.
I don't think anyone has seen your mother's calves.
Let me ask you a question, Jen. You think Popeye ever did biceps? He didn't need to.
No, he just housed that can of spinach and they showed up.
Boom!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you tried that, Mr. Surgery?
Have you tried that? You've tried everything else. Have you tried just housing some spinach or what?
I'm not there yet.
I'll let you know
after the rocks.
Oh, yeah, because you got to move the rocks. That's right.
4 minutes.
Somebody weighed in on the Carbless Talk and Text chain saying, I can't believe Chewy's complaining about the rocks being on his driveway. Would he rather have them on his grass? You don't have grass though, right? It's like a turf.
No,
thing.
I have grass. Oh, yeah. I re-sodded the hole.
So then, yeah. What are we doing? We don't want rocks on the on the grass.
There's a big difference here. Chewy wanted it on this driveway, just more to the side, so they could easily navigate their driveway.
There you go. Thank you, Josh.
Just like the television.
Put a flag up.
Wanted it just to sync with the other televisions. You know, it seems like you let little things sort of like
what
fester.
And that was sarcasm. Man, I am getting really good at identifying the sarcasm. Will the Natasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.
Godspeed you.